Welcome to The Naked Truth with Nicole Day. In this podcast, we strip away the facades and dig deeper into body confidence, what beauty truly means to us, and of course, a little nudity talk. In each episode, you'll hear from different people, different bodies, different perspectives. It's March, meaning it's also Women's History Month. In episode 4, I sit down with Eva and we tackle the beauties and challenges of being a woman. We touch on periods, the patriarchy, and would it be the naked truth without bringing up some nudes? If there's anybody to lay down the law on what we as women deserve, it's Eva, and you'll see why. So if you are a man listening, please take out your notebook. But either way, turn your volume up, grab your glass of wine, and prepare to hear the naked truth. So I want to introduce you to our guest, Miss Eva. Eva, please introduce yourself.
Hi.
Well, your face sounds good, girl.
Thank you. I tried. Stop it. Okay, but anyway, my name is Eva. I am turning 26 on Saturday. And I have a nonprofit called Red Dot Campaign. Should I tell you what
yes,
it's about?
Yes, that was okay. My next question.
Wow, I'm a mind reader. Basically. Got it. So Red Dot Campaign is a nonprofit that I co-created that collects period products for those in need. But then we also destigmatize the period by hosting events like panel discussions, comedy shows, art exhibitions to, again, destigmatize the period and re-educate on reproductive health.
So I'm so glad that this organization exists because I think people don't really understand how important it is to have period materials on you at all times. Like, totally. Imagine being in a meeting, getting your period, and you not being able to go to your purse and grab a tampon because you can't afford it. You know, like things like that. So I think the mission of your organization is super important, and it's something that people really need to grasp, especially now it's Women's History Month. Mm-hmm. Like, y'all better get this shit now. Right. Now more than ever this month, listen to us. Seeing as it is National Women's Month, I conducted a little survey on the socials. So I sent a little survey out and basically asked women to provide, you know, the challenges of being a woman, but also the amazing things that you do, that we do. So if you're a woman, I hope that you are excited to listen to this mini segment we have. And if you are a man or whoever, I hope you have your notebook out and taking notes because we're really about to drop some knowledge. All right, so Eva, are you ready to go through these with me? We'll do a little...
I'm trying my best.
A little key about all of them, share how we feel, that sort of thing. Yeah. Are you ready?
Let's do it. God, the pressure is fucking on. Jesus.
Yes. Take your little sip of your Bacardi. Eva got me in here drinking...
Yo, what?
Bacardi on a Tuesday.
Look, it is my birthday week. You better recognize.
Heard you loud and clear. All right. So let's start with the challenges first, which is basically what we were just talking about. This is the number one thing, periods.
Yes.
Everyone said that's a challenge. How do you feel?
I am privileged.
Really?
Let me tell you.
I mean, you're about to blow me. Yeah. You're one of those. Get out of... No, go
I'm
ahead.
I'm one of those. I fucking made a nonprofit off of this shit. Of course I'm one of those. I'm go a ahead, weirdo. Sis.
Go.
Yeah, with periods, I have always embraced it. I never understood why we had to hide it. I wanted it so badly.
Really? And because when you were younger?
Yeah. I was one of the last of my friends to have a period.
Okay. What time... How old were you?
I was, I think, 15 or 14.
Oh, I was 12.
Right. Yeah. Right. And that's during a time that's really scary too. Mm-hmm. Like it's kind of common, but people are like, you know, they're more quiet about that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, being in high school and not having your period, I was just like, what the fuck? And like when I turned 13,
I didn't think about that.
I mean, everyone had boobs, like everything was developing.
Yeah.
And my friends, when I turned 13, even I didn't even know it was so obvious that I love talking about periods because they threw me a period party for my 13th birthday and they gave me like period products with little post-it notes like happy birthday, here's a little, like a little thong pad, like a pad for your thongs, like all this stuff.
Wow, you are true to this. Not new to this.
I know. And I had to shelve it for 2 years because I didn't get it. I know. But so personally, I never felt like that was... I don't know. I felt like periods were a gift.
It's That's a gift. That's so beautiful.
Thanks. It's like a gift that we can choose to embrace or not, or like as long as we have the right to handle it the way we want to handle it. If you want to take birth control pills that stop your period, go for it. That's mm-hmm. totally fine.
Yeah.
And even with Red Dot, I know we're discussing Women's History Month specifically, but we have expanded into to include more intersectional experience. So mm-hmm. non-binary people, trans individuals, people that, you know, may be transitioning that still have their reproductive organs to produce a period, mm-hmm. but do not associate with the feminine qualities
okay.
of periods.
Oh, the inclusion. Thank you. Wow.
I would say it's giving you chills, but like the drink is making us very hot. I'm like sweating right now.
Is it the liquor or what?
No, I'm sweating. But
the same.
But no, but in all seriousness, it's so I find it, there is such a natural connection that we have because we have periods. Mm-hmm. There it's deep rooted in womanhood and history. And I like, I've read books, fiction books called like The Red Tent that focuses on the power and the magic of mm-hmm. menstruation. It's just,
I love that you're taking this approach because like yeah. everyone put it as like the major challenge of being a woman. Like, you know, the
really?
The cramps. This was number one. Like this is because we're talking about the struggles now. This was the number one thing everyone wrote. And it's because the pain, the cramps, the agitation.
Yeah.
But I love that you took such a different approach to it. And maybe, hopefully, people listening can try to amongst all the PMS. You can try and find the...
Wait. Let's be real. Wait. I'm glamorizing this shit, but let's
you
be
sure
real.
Are.
My PMS is fucking crazy. Like, my mom, I will go off on people I love the most.
No, I actually... I'm not going to say I blocked all my friends this week, but a solid do not disturb in every single group chat I'm in. I won't have any of it.
I can't. Yeah. It literally can't. It is... My sensitivity is on an all-time high. Like,
oh, yeah.
I'll be acting reckless as shit and then have to be like, wait, what the fuck?
No, it's when you step back and you're like, dang, did I really delete her thread before even, like, responding for no reason? I'm like, yo, but dang, can we get something without so much pain and this blood leaving our bodies? It's like, I get why people submit, like, literally yeah. three-fourths
Look,
of the people.
Look, I get it. But the thing is, I was on birth controls in all through high school, too, like, once I got my period.
Mm-hmm.
And it honestly used to help control my PMS emotional symptoms.
Right.
Which is a whole other topic because it didn't help. And it definitely made it worse. But it wasn't until I stopped taking pills, a period pill, like last year, like mm-hmm. 2017 to 2018, I just stopped for like a year because I just want to give my body a break, see what it was like naturally. And I
heard a lot of people doing it.
Yeah.
How did that go?
Well, I got cramps. I was like, what the fuck is right. this shit?
You
I
got
was
too
like,
comfortable and wanted to experiment and look what happened.
I was like, I was advocating for period, embracing,
right.
not only just accepting, embracing the period.
Right.
Who the fuck am I? Because this shit hurts
it.
So
yeah. It humbled you.
Oh, absolutely. But I will say, not to dive in so deeply, mm-hmm. but stopping to take the pill, and then I got an IUD, right? So I tried the IUD, and that I think helped. So the IUD does not protect your ovaries, right? But it gives you hormones.
Okay.
So depending on which one you get, so I got the hormonal one, and I think it's the cause that developed a cyst that was on my ovary, right? So the end of 2018, I had an 11-centimeter cyst that was on my right ovary.
Stop.
It wrapped it around and actually killed the ovary. So they had to remove it.
Oh, my
and
God.
And so, and this was during a time where I was like, you know, Red Dot's great. Like, I love what I'm doing. It's, you know, it's connecting me to people. But what more can it be, right?
Right.
And then all of a sudden, I it was traumatic. I, like, being someone that I would have a natural advocacy towards reproductive health, I lost an ovary, and that was just like, so I took like a month and a half off work. Like, I was processing what this means to me, how I lost control of my body without realizing, you know, it was just
right.
like my body just did its own thing. And fortunately, it did not, you know, it's not affecting my future in terms of having kids, because God provided us with two ovaries, you know, fertility at its evolutionary best. But at the same time, it was like, okay, what can we do more
right.
with Red Dot? And so it was a gift that I had to like realize it was a gift. But that being said, it made me appreciate periods again,
right?
A lot more. Oh, and reproductive God. Health and expand on it.
You're such a strong human
being. Oh my God, I'm a warrior. It's fine.
Shut up. Okay, let's go to number two. Number two on the lady struggles. A lot of people talked about feeling in danger all the time, like unnecessarily, like when you're traveling alone or just like in the dark. And that one resonated to me so much. I don't know if it's because we're in New York and the catcalling and like aggressive men going up to women, hitting on them and them not receiving it and then slashing them in the face. It's like...
Or like acid pours.
Yes.
When you hear about those
and
stories.
I'm just like, as a woman, the fact that we have... not have to walk around on guard, but almost like if
yeah,
you're,
we, do.
We really do. And it just gets exhausting sometimes. Like, I should never in the morning think about, oh my God, will someone hit on me if I wear this to work? Like,
yeah.
That should not
it's
be the number
day.
One thing. It should be like, ooh, what's going to make me feel like a bad bitch? You know what I'm saying? Like,
and girl, you are a bad bitch. Let me say.
tell me again. I'm playing. Have you ever had any experiences with, you know, feeling in danger or anything crazy like that?
I wouldn't say endangered, but I definitely have a lot of bark, but not really a bite.
if I'm going to be honest. Girl who's like, I'm about to fight you.
Yeah, I'd be like,
it's like, no, please.
Please. Wait, I didn't actually mean it like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's time when we were living in Harlem.
Yeah.
Right. There was a, when I went to the Blink, that was like on 125th. And I remember I was walking by and this old fucking crusty ass man was like in the middle of, like, I would say in quotes, downtown Harlem, right? In the middle and just saying, hey, girl, come sit on my lap.
What?
And I was so fed up because this is like the day that I literally yelled without skipping a beat, oh my God, I'm only 16. Swear to God, I did this and I just kept it moving. I was in my gym clothes, like, fuck you, dude.
Right.
And it and everyone around was like, oh my God, what is happening? She's only 16. What is happening? I was like, okay, one, where the fuck were you guys when this happened?
Right.
Like, you didn't say shit until, like, blah, 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 until I had to, like, threaten this person with my fictionary youth.
Right.
I'm 25 at this point.
Right.
And
you
this
had to lie
happened.
And say you were a whole 10 years younger just
and,
to feel safe.
Yeah. And so it's just like, that's the day to day. So I use humor to help combat those type of experiences, but at the same time it's like you have to be careful at this, like, you just have to be careful because easily toxic masculinity exists, and if you got the wrong person that you were trying to be all like haha fuck you, they could attack you.
It could be actually dangerous.
Yeah, it's like literally life or death.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I have not experienced, or I've kind of read the situation or used my intuition to be like, okay, can I provide the same fuckery energy that this person's putting on me? Or should I just, like, let it be, let it go, and just, like, keep it moving? And it just sucks that we have to sacrifice that. Because it would be nice just to walk.
To walk freely and not feel like someone's going to get on my fucking nerves for no reason.
Like, why do people think that's, like, a compliment? Like, has that happened to you?
Oh, listen.
Exactly.
I get things and I'm just like, where did you think this was going to go? That's my first thing when they yell things out. Did you think I was going to propose or like, give you my number? Be like, oh my God, I'm so flattered. You just yelled, yes, girl, with the jeans. I am turned on. Like, what did you, like, I want to know, like, what's the end goal here? Are you bored? Do you want to yell out? Do you want to make me feel uncomfortable? Because mission accomplished. So it's just like, it happens all the time, but I'm getting good at just like, zoning out into my headphones and just like not paying it any mind. Because in Harlem, I used to clap back because I just got so annoyed. Like one time I was walking to the gym and a guy like grabbed my arm and I like swung around just like so.
Like you fucking touched
like,
me.
What? Like literally your hands on my arm. Are you crazy? I just like literally went off and then kept walking. I will never forget. But after that, I was like, all right, you got to play it safe because that person didn't bark back, but there's people out here who will. So
yeah.
Stay safe, I mean, out there.
It's like, I don't think people, like, say, privileged men, it's frustrating if they don't really understand why we're so frustrated,
right.
Why we're so irritated, why we're always so on edge. Because this is our literal day to day. I'm tired defending myself, defending my body, making sure that I'm not sexually assaulted, because reality, that fucking happens.
Yeah.
Easily.
All right, so on to number three of the struggle. a lot of people talked about being quote unquote emotional. So like whenever you have to voice a concern and you're pictured being emotional, or like when you're rationally upset and someone comes at you with, you're just being emotional. And this one, I was like, y'all hit it on the mark.
It's like you knew this was going to be directed to me.
I did not.
My ass is so Pisces, it's like not even funny.
Oh my God. Meanwhile, I'm an Aquarius and I'm just like...
So, look, that's why I need people like you in my life to help balance that shit out. Because, look, my whole life, from my family to my friends, have called me, you are too sensitive. Stop being so sensitive. Why are you so emotional? Blah, blah, blah. It's because, bitch, I feel a lot.
Yeah.
So it wasn't till my dad was like, do you realize that your sensitivity is your superpower? Your emotional capability to connect with other people, that is your superpower. Embrace that. And it wasn't until he said that that I did realize, like, this is a strength of mine. Mm-hmm. I enjoy feeling, because it's not being too emotional, and I say it in quotes, is like, why are you always only picking on the negativity aspect of, like, emotional, as if it's only anger or sadness?
Right.
Because it goes beyond that. Mm-hmm. It goes with... like, emotional can be extreme joy, extreme, like, happiness, laughter, like, reflection.
Mm-hmm.
It's endless. But the fact that this imaginary person is so focused on only the negativity or the negative aspects of emotionality, right?
Come on, you better make up words. Come on.
I know, but I said it so great. Like, my hands were collected together, and I said emotion.
It was me.
Yeah, great, thanks. but truly, the fact that people only focus on the negative when it comes to emotions. No, I'm embracing the positive. I love being emotional.
I wish y'all just saw her face. The way she just growled when she said love. She meant it.
They heard it.
All right, let's go to number 4.
All right, fine. Stop me in my pause. She's trying to be, y'all, this is about to be a 2-hour episode.
Listen. This is not the read. The show must go on, okay? I love it too, but I do not have that power to have a 2-hour episode yet. Okay, so.
Speak it.
Number 4, people were talking about the constant inequality, the pay differences, people assuming that we're not as quote-unquote smart as men, sexism in the workplace, the patriarchy in general. And this one, I was like, dang, this should low-key be number 1. How many blatant, systematic
so
policies
in your face.
Are there in your face to tell us we literally are not equal?
Mm-hmm.
And it, like, sometimes I just put in the back of my head, anytime I hear more, you know, policy news about, like, abortion or any reproductive rights, I always throw it in the back of my head, because I'm just like, I can't even sit there and try and process it or really think about it, because it genuinely makes me upset that, like, a white man in his 60s sitting in Washington can literally dictate what I do with my body. And it's like, dang, like, when did we, like, I don't want to say how did we get here, because we've always been kind of the lesser race, not lesser race, lesser gender. Sorry. Wrong fight.
Not if you're a black woman.
Right, but exactly. But always. Like, I don't know. I just don't understand, like, at what point will we be seen as equals?
When we claim in ourselves, and when we genuinely claim in ourselves as a collective unit.
Elaborate more, because I feel some tea brewing. I feel a hot take coming.
I just feel like there's a disconnect when it comes to the intersectional experience. Okay?
Yeah.
We are so, if you want to talk about womanhood, and let's talk about, if you want to talk specifically sex, no, fuck that. Just gender. Associating however you want to associate. If you associate as a woman, that's dope.
Mm-hmm.
There is still this disconnect because of other elements like blackness or like race or religion or something like that, right?
Right.
We need to actually claim that there's like a section that is claiming, or a counterculture that is claiming, yes, we want equality. Like, New York is loud with it.
Love.
So, and it's great. It's fucking amazing. But the whole country is not like that.
Right.
The whole world
is
not like that.
I forget sometimes.
It's easy to forget.
I hear this news and I'm like, bro, that's not what it's like over here.
How do you think that's so real. Black women stay safe in the elections every fucking fucking year.
Every year.
All the elections. It's just like we continue. It's we show up, but not everyone's showing up. Right. Okay. We need to look. We can always argue it's not fair. It's not this. It's not that. But like a moment where we really saw was during like the women's march. Mm-hmm. But even then, there was some controversy because it's like Black women have always showed up.
From day one.
From day one, and we continue to hold the entire country on our back. And not just Black women, like women of color in general, like the people that, you know, when I focus on intersectionality, it's because we have multiple fights to fight. Yeah. So we're not going to exclude an element because, like, if you are the most oppressed, meaning a Black, you know, woman identifying or femme identifying, like, say, queer woman.
Yes.
Good luck, sis. Right. Like, you know?
Yeah, you're so, fighting everything.
Exactly. So when we all come together, and I'm talking about everybody, to fight that fight, that's when we'll see change.
Are you trying to run for office?
Fuck no. Because I am way too reckless for that shit. Ooh. Unless they're ready.
You dropped some gems, and I hope you people are listening. I feel like we ended on a light note, so we might as well jump into the celebrations. All right, so these are all the things that are great about being a woman. Mm-hmm. Number one, we create life. We grow humans in here.
My heart is like, pop, pop, pop.
I'm a... Yo, that because it's like I get it. Yeah. I understand why a lot of people said that. Because for one, like creating life, it's like that's why women talk all that XYZ shit. I'm just like, but can you grow a whole human inside of you? No. But you know, we gotta focus on the pains too. Pregnancy. But I won't get into that in that segment. This segment, because we're talking about positivity here.
I can't. I've never been pregnant. I don't know what that is like.
I don't know what it's like either. But mom, I'm so happy you have me. Exactly. My mom told me that she gained 100 pounds when she was pregnant with me, and I believe.
Wait, that's crazy.
One hundo, and yeah, which is very one unhealthy because apparently you're only supposed to gain like 20 to 30 pounds. Because I saw a picture of her once. Allegedly, it was her, but I could not. I couldn't tell it was her. Allegedly, because I saw the picture and I was like, "Mom, who's it? Like, who's this aunt I've never met before?" She goes, "Oh, that was me when I was pregnant."
Yeah, my
you.
Mouth is to the
no. I'm door. So serious, and that's when she told me the story of how like she was eating so much when she was born with when she was pregnant with me.
I would
me.
Do the same thing though.
Yeah, cravings but like she real. Was going ham. Sis was having like boxes of pizza from Domino's and everything. I was just like, "Sister, that's why I was born thick." Just like it was my
thick
prophecy.
And sexy girl. Yes.
Hello, hello. So yeah, pregnancy obviously number one. We're bomb. Create life. Number two, you kind of touched on this earlier about the whole sensitivity thing, but this is like a different take. Mm-hmm. Just our natural capacity to love and care for others. I think that's just one of the most beautiful things about being a woman.
Yeah. We're like allowed to. Yeah. We're allowed to be in tune with our emotions.
Yeah.
It's up to you whether you think it's a bad thing or not, but don't let other people say shit. Mm-hmm. I love being in tune with my emotions.
Me too. Even when my emotions are a little crazy.
Leo, she's looking like she has crazy eyes right now.
Because I was thinking about my personal emotions.
She went somewhere. I don't know where she went.
That one may be irrational, but, you know, we're gonna embrace it anyways.
Look, let's try it.
Exactly. Number three, we have, I put this in quotes, being able to be transparent about feelings and emotions towards other people without judgment. Mm-hmm. See, I agree with that, but I have never experienced that, like, without judgment. I guess I say that when I'm sharing feelings with, like, the opposite sex or whoever mm-hmm. I'm involved with, I feel like there's always judgment involved. But that could just be a personal thing.
Now, can I speak on the queer experience?
Yes. Oh, my God. Share.
Okay.
Yeah. Share. I love it. I love a new perspective.
I mean, I had the same feeling. I feel like there was an extra hurdle to explain yourself on an emotional level when I was dating men.
Yeah.
Right? But then when I expanded, because I'm not just dating, like, women or, you know, non-binary experiences mm-hmm. and all that. But I've noticed that there is, in the queer experience, a hurdle you don't have to jump over. It's kind of like you already went through that wall. They already understand you. It's like this enlightened experience where you don't have to fully explain yourself because they get that one part of you because there isn't that gender gap.
Right. Wow.
And I had to learn that, mm-hmm. you know, it wasn't, because originally I see a clear difference between yeah. communicating, but I've also was able to, you know, date men that were more in tune with their emotions. So I think it really just depends, but an obvious sign was when I experienced the queer community.
Wow, I love that.
Oh my God.
Noted. What a future. Oh, this one's funny. Women are efficient and forward thinkers who know how to get stuff done, and I love that. Mm-hmm. This person put, and I love that. And I do too, because we really are so fucking brilliant.
Yes.
Like, oh, it even gets me mad. I'm sorry, I'm getting worked up.
Yo, a sweat droplet just like coming from her brow.
Because like, efficiency is our thing. Mm-hmm. I remember one of my guy friends was like, dang, how do y'all girls go on all those girl trips? I was like, because we're organized individuals. What kind of fucking question is that? Exactly. Y'all can't even organize to go bowling. So don't bring your stuff over there.
Don't bring your energy over here. Exactly.
And I just, that may be my number one thing. Maybe number two. Because this next one is number one
all right. for me.
Quote, the unique power of seduction. Girl, whoever wrote this, you did that shit. Did that.
Yo, yeah. This is my favorite. If you do you know my
feel,
mom? Like this?
Like feel like you felt that quote.
Yes, I did. I'm sweating. Yeah, for I'm many reasons. Too, it's because of the drink.
I'm telling you, women are the most seductive absolutely. Creatures I without even trying.
Yes.
Even sometimes the way we walk, yes. I'm like, bitch. No. We really do that effortlessly. Mm-hmm. That's all we have for, you know, the ups and downs of being a woman. Thanks for, you know, discussing with me.
You're
and
welcome.
Going through. You're so sweet. Mm-hmm. And thank you all for submitting. Very helpful.
Seriously.
Yeah. For real. Great. Did half the job for me. Woo. All right. So we talk about the experiences of being a woman and our bodies. And I kind of want to hone in a little bit on the whole body tip. Okay. You know, we are such honest creatures. I want you to be honest with me.
Okay.
What's like a challenge that you have with your body, but what's also something that you can celebrate about your body?
See, I mean, you've caught me in a very interesting stage in my life where mm-hmm. I am now just like fully embracing my body, right? Because back in the day, I was like, people like in high school or middle school, they would call me Lilo.
Like Lilo and Stitch?
Yeah, because my nose was so big. So they call me Lilo.
That's not nice.
And at the same time, though, they fucking didn't see the movie because Lilo is the baddest bitch of all the Disney whatever.
She was pretty fly.
She's fucking as shit. And I was like, actually, thank you.
You better own it.
But at the same time, I think trying to... This is going to sound so privileged, but it's like kind of trying to identify myself being a mixed woman mm-hmm. and having features. Like identifying, I am a black woman. But I'm also Asian. Mm-hmm. Having features that, you know, made my hair different than some other black women, because we all come in different shapes and sizes and colors and shit. But not feeling like I can really speak on experiences because of my, I say in quotes, because it shouldn't even be like this, but privilege of like people would be like, stop me on the street and be like, you know, what are you and stuff like that.
People are still asking that in 2019. Bro.
Like, but it got to the point where I stopped answering. I said, I don't want to answer that.
Good.
Thank you though. And they'd be like, why?
There they go. There they go.
They're like, why? I'm just asking what you exactly. And I'm just like, because I just don't want to answer that
right.
at that point. It's like, you see me like when it matters, you see me by my skin color and you know I'm black. So that's what matters, you know? And, but they think it's like a compliment, and it's a very complex experience because you either have to choose one or the other, but you just look, and I say again in quotes, you just look different. Mm. So it's just battling with that for a long time. But in terms of physical experience, like appearance and stuff like that, I didn't struggle too hard with that. Fortunately, my mom was very like body positive.
Oh, I love that.
If, you know, there was one stage where I gained a lot of weight, I think sophomore year of high school. And my dad would try to, like, work it out. You'd be like, you should like just stop drinking so much juice and like stuff like that. You got to think about nutrition. And I'm just like, what are you talking about? You don't even know. All of a sudden, my mom was like, you can't talk to her. Like, right. You can't, you know, talk to her about body image and stuff as she's a teenager.
Right.
But, you know, my mom would do her, you know, in her ways, like, you know, get me clothes that fit better so I would be more, but that were cute, that would make me feel more mm-hmm. comfortable. And then, fortunately, I was able to, like, learn nutrition and, like, get back into my average regular body, right? So that was the only time I felt kind of insecure with my physical body. But mm-hmm. other than that, you know, it fluctuates. But I grew up pretty body positive.
I think that's so important.
Yeah.
That, like, because you hear so many stories of people and their families, like, beating them down. And yeah. the way that affects you down the line, I mean, I never experienced that. My mom was also like, you black beauty, you're beautiful, yeah, blah, blah, own blah. It. But I'm like, imagine if you didn't have that voice. Mm-mm. Because everyone else around you is saying things, but to go home and hear it, mm-hmm. I just could not imagine.
And that's a reality for a lot of people.
Oh, hell yeah, a serious reality.
Yeah. I think it's fortunate when we live in a day and age where you can find resources yeah. to not fall into that.
Yeah.
You can hear just like your podcast.
Ooh, come on, plug.
Yo, for real.
I'll finish with you. All right, okay. But then on the other side, mm-hmm. what's something that you've always been able to celebrate about your body?
I loved my boobs.
Come on.
No, seriously. Really? I wanted my boobs for the longest time.
When did they come in? Because I know you said earlier that you were waiting for your boobs to come in.
For the long, right?
You did say that. You're like, I was waiting in high school.
Then all of a sudden, this bitch was like, right. Girls don't fit anymore. I was like, right. Really? No. I loved my boobs. And my it's so funny because my mom, on my mom's side, we all had big boobs. Like, there wasn't a doubt that I was going to have boobs, but I was panicking so much. She's like, Eva, you easily could get Nana's boobs. Ooh, it was like an A on the A team. Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong.
No, seriously. Literally nothing wrong with that. But personally, seeing my mom, you know, everyone had big boobs.
I was, you had like, something to look forward
to. That's my future.
Right.
You're like, either way, it's fine. But that's what I wanted, and all of a sudden it happened. And I've owned it ever since. I love my titties.
Well, now that we're on the subject of, like, boobs and stuff, it's mm-hmm. time for our segment, Send Nudes. Boom, 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 boom.
My favorite part of life.
All right, so before we get, you know, to the nitty-gritty. Mm-hmm. So you're a photographer. Mm-hmm. Have you ever shot anybody in the nude?
Yes, a billion times yes. I love photographing in the nude, the anatomy, the body.
What's your favorite part about it?
Oh my God, honestly, if you want to talk physical part, mm-hmm. I love the quads to the butt.
Whoa.
And as well as the backside. And not necessarily mine. Mm-hmm. It's just I love capturing that because, like, say if you're photographing, like, a dancer, right? Or a male dancer, a female dancer. There is so much strength in the quads, the hamstrings, and the buttocks, right? So professional.
Buttocks.
The booty. They're when they're flexing, there's so much strength there. And I'm purely envisioning in front of me, I wake up to an Alvin Ailey poster in my room of him, like, mid-air, completely flex his entire body. And it's like a side photo of his entire body. And I grew up with this photo, right? Like, my parents put it in my room.
Yeah.
So I've always had an appreciation of anatomy, and the human body is completely amazing. And so I've always loved photographing, especially in college. I photographed a lot of people nude. And what's beautiful is there were a lot of subjects who were very open and would even ask me before I asked them, can you photograph me nude? And I think that has to touch on, like, the female gaze and the comfort coming from a female photographer.
Right.
Photographing it. There's nothing sexual about it. Mm-hmm. It's just an appreciation, a capture of the body.
Oh! A capture! Wow.
And my drink is done.
We're at that point in the show. So, like, have you ever gone into a nude shoot and your subject wasn't, like, you could kind of tell they were a little hesitant?
Yes. I think everyone gets a little nervous, even if they were, like, down from the jump to photograph, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I don't sexualize it. Okay. You know, I think that's the key idea, especially when if you want to talk about male versus female photographers and stuff like that. There's so many male photographers photographing like boudoir and like lingerie and like nude and sexy and stuff. And it just, as a professional, I'm looking at these photos. I'm like, that is so hypersexual. There's nothing that is capturing the person who happens to be nude or the person that is embracing their nudity that goes beyond the sexuality. Like, so I choose to use myself as an example, and I photograph myself nude. I do, in a professional sense, like, but also in that professional sense. But at the same time, like, if I'm not willing to do it myself, I'm not going to ask someone to do it for me. So I think that gives people comfort that they have already seen my own self-portraits, and they're like, okay, they're going to take care of me. She's going to make sure that I'm
Eva,
not,
like, you are... Your fave could never... I love that, that you literally... Like, maybe to you it's not going out of your way, but I don't know many people who go to a photographer and they're like, I want to shoot nude. And then they're like, okay, great. So here's me. And know that I'm... No, not in that way, but just, like, let you know that I'm here. Mm-hmm. I did this. Mm-hmm. I know what's good. I think that's so important.
Thank you.
Why you make me want to contact you for love?
You could just, like... You know, I'm shooting on a very low price to a free level. Like, if you...
I'm about to hit you up after this. Heard you. All right. So now we're going to talk about you getting your business.
Oh, I feel like I've been talking about, literally my shit. Okay.
Like your nudity business.
Oh, I love it.
So, like, I know you're a photographer. So your nudes actually may be next level fire.
I'm not going to lie, yeah.
So do you, okay. What are the reactions? I mean, do you send these nudes to people? And what are the reactions?
They love it.
Dang.
like I look so, and they're not, I'm so annoying because as an artist too, I'm like, I'm not going to just do a regular, like, here's a side titty. Right. Like, you know, I'll do like a faraway shot, a reflection of a mirror, but that's not too close. Yes, you'll still see the cell phone.
Right.
Because I'm not putting up a tripod. Like, it's still casual.
I use self timer.
Nothing wrong with that either.
Love me a self timer.
Just my shit is so heavy. I just, whatever. So, but yeah, I love taking a sexy photo. I have, like, I'll take it for me. Mm-hmm. But if I'm feeling someone too, like, you're welcome. And I have no...
A gift.
You are welcome.
Yes.
This is my sexual confidence. Like, you're fortunate to be in it.
And I love that. Inviting someone into your sexual confidence.
You just want to be careful, obviously, but at the same time, I don't date people that I don't have the intuition of trusting, right? Mm-hmm. I'm very careful with who I associate with in that regard. Mm-hmm. So if I send a picture, it's because I'm like I'm feeling you myself, right? Feeling you, like, this is great.
Yes, and that's where the first feelings come from. It's feeling myself first, and then I'm just like, let me bless somebody else. Call it community service, if you will.
Fuck yes.
Philanthropy.
Oh, my God. I love it. So it sounds like you be sending some news and fuck yes.
I sure don't. I send them to my best friends.
So you be sending some news to fuck yes?
Yeah.
Exactly.
I do.
That's what I'm referring to.
I love me a nude. It just, like, it feels good.
Oh, my God.
It's just so crazy. So
popping.
And then, and then some days when I'm not feeling my best, I just go in my little folder.
Yes, I do. I literally do the same thing.
I do. And I'm just like, the days where, like, you look in the mirror and you're not feeling it, and then you just go back and you're like, this is live evidence that I am that bitch.
Yeah. You are that bitch. For
you
real.
You are too.
I feel it. Thank you. We are that bitch.
We are those bitches.
Those bitches. No, but for real, it feels, I love giving that.
Yeah,
because I'm giving it to myself first, as you said. Like, it's just, wow, I'm getting emotional.
You're about to cry.
Or hock a loogie, I don't know.
God, please, the latter.
Either way, I love that this is the subject I get to talk about, because, like, my own personal work, that it's like my parents, they probably think I was so wild as a kid, because it's like our first Red Dot show in 2016. We were looking for a nude model to do body painting, right? Mm-hmm. And we couldn't find one. I was like, okay, I'll just do it. I was and I was on my period, so my boobs were so big. And you know what my parents did?
I love my period boobs.
I know. Well, I don't need them.
Girl, greedy. Continue.
I was like, actually.
Right.
But the first art show, basically in the back, I was like getting done up and I came out. I was like the presentation at the end. My poor family.
They're probably like, what did we do?
And yet, fully supported me. They were like, I got my brother there. I got my dad there. I got my mom there. I got my godparents there. Support system,
brazy.
I got my brother's best friend who's basically my godbrother. And I'm just like, I'm full. My titties are out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just painted.
Mm-hmm.
With like nipple paste and like undie, and they just fully. I've always been around that support.
Mm-hmm.
Art was always focused. That was number one. So I was able to photograph. I was able to present myself. But at the same time, speaking of the earlier negative qualities of being a woman, I felt by other people very uncomfortable. Like the curator or the gallery curator would be like, "Let me take a photo of you," and he would like. Kind of like low-key grope me and stuff like that. And it's just like, you ruin such a great moment, or I'm not allowing you to ruin this great moment by your own like fantasy sexual conquest of my body. Like, fuck you. And so it's taking ownership. And I think that's why people send nudes, because they do it for themselves.
Yeah.
And they want to give that gift. It's like, yes, I'm sharing it because I trust you.
Yes.
But
key.
Don't throw it in my face, because, like, I already know I'm lit.
I'm just so enamored. I stand. I sure do. I'm about to go home and take some nudes.
Do it. Do it. And yeah, send it your BFF and be like, remember how popping I look? Here you go. If you forgot.
You're a fool.
I just keep it in my folder. I'm too bold.
What's your folder called?
I don't have it. It just, there's no name. I just, like, look it up. You know, like, when you search and it's, like, boudoir, it's, you,
like, no, look. I have, like,
oh, you have a legit folder?
A separate folder on my iPhoto.
I'm not that organized.
It's called Aquarius. It Me. It's called It Me.
It Me?
Yeah. Like, It Me. Yeah. I'm very organized. I even organized my nudes.
I was like, when I said folder, I was just saying, a concept.
No,
like,
no. A folder.
Fuck yes.
Yeah. So I know exactly where to go when I need to grab one.
You know how many, like... like scrolls I have to go through, how many threads I have to go.
And that's why I have the folder.
Well done, Puck.
I tried.
Those are my most cherished, though. Like, someone stole my phone over December, and I'm like, but what about
my nudes?
But not,
I gotta back them up. Back them up to the.
It's not even like, what if they get a hold of them? It's more like, I can't find them anymore. Yeah. I miss them. Like, yeah. These are mine. But I will say, there was only one time, which I'm happy to talk about,
because
I reflected now. I was dating someone in college, and he called me and was like, hey, I'm going to send you this link. Is this you? And it was a photo of me. Well, could be me. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it looked like my earrings. It looked like, you know, my body looked like the background of my room, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, I really didn't know if it was me or not. But it was a nude, it was a topless photo, right? And, like, again, I was very active giving nudes because I liked doing it, right? And, like, he made me feel so bad and dirty and, like, even though I don't know how it got into this public page. It was just on it. I just changed my phone. Someone could have easily just took the photo off my phone. And, you know, who knows? But it looked so much like me, like, the body, mm-hmm. that it scared the shit out of me. I was so ashamed. I was, like, he made me feel ashamed. I felt horrible about myself. I didn't feel worthy. It was a 3-day experience where I was like, should I tell my mom? Like,
wow.
I hated myself.
Yeah.
This was like the biggest scare. I called exes like at 2 a.m. like, hey, did you like send a photo that happened to me? Because I don't recall where that photo came from. And it wasn't until I talked to my friend, Kim, shout out to Kim.
Okay.
That she was like, do you know how many, like, nude photos of tits there are on the internet?
Real.
No one's checking for you.
You always need that one friend to bring you back to earth.
And that's when I was like, no one's checking for me.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Damn.
It happened. But it was a sad, like, even me talking about it was like right now, it was tough because it's like, how dare you, past relationship, make me feel bad about something I had no control over. Mm-hmm. I didn't do anything. But how dare I make myself feel bad about this experience, which I bring so much joy to the, like, I love the body.
I was just going to say, like, we should never be ashamed of our nudity. And that's, like, part of why I do this segment, just to, like,
I love that.
Debunk this whole thing we have around nudity.
Yes.
Why has it got to be about sex? Why has it got to be something dirty? This is literally our bodies in the purest form. You can't put a dress over it. You can't put your butt-lifted jeans over it. This is you. This is what you're going to get. So I'm so not, I don't want to say I'm so sorry you went through that, because obviously you went through, like, a traumatic experience, mm-hmm. but you came out on top.
Oh,
and
fuck yeah.
You love your body even more.
And there's a lot of
lessons learned.
A lot of self nudes I made that put on Instagram, like, this is my backside. I love it. It looks popping.
Follow Eva, because she do be posting those things. And I'm like, wow, you both. You don't fear Instagram. Go ahead, sis.
And yet someone, like, will say something. I'll be like, does it look bad? Should I take it off? They're like, no, girl, you look popping.
So. Keep it. All right, so my final question for you, Eva. What is your naked truth? I mean, when we get down to the core of you, mm-hmm. who you are as a person, mm-hmm. where does the truth lie? What's something about you that is just so dead on honest that you want to share with people?
Interesting time to ask me that. Mm-hmm. I bring a lot of joy externally, but there is internal doubt that I've experienced. Mm-hmm. They go, you know, fluctuates, goes back and forth. But I truly do love being of service of the people in however I can, you know, like whether it's through photography, whether it's through Red Dot, embracing other people's bodies, uplifting my friends. I try my absolute hardest to make other people feel good that I forget about myself. And that is my naked truth.
That was a very honest naked truth. It wasn't cookie cutter either. You're so honest, girl.
I am. I just linked almost to a fault. People don't need to know my business. But it's like, whatever.
Eva, thank you so much for joining us and being so honest. You went through all the woes and beautifulness of being a woman with me. We talked about nudes. We got this shit jumping. Can you let the people know where to follow you and where they can, you know, stay updated on Red Dot Campaign? Drop all the tins for everybody.
Well, since you asked.
Shut up.
Go ahead. Okay. You can follow me as a brand.
God.
You can follow me at Ew Photos number one, right? So it's EW Photos and then the number one. That's me. That's mm-hmm. my photography page. You will not be disappointed. My stories are lit. You can follow my professional page at Red Dot Campaign, the nonprofit at Red Dot Campaign. We have a self-love workshop that is happening with Red Dot Campaign. So look out for that. Follow our page. You'll see all the events that we're having, because we have one at least once a month, if not twice or three times a month. Okay? All right.
Love that. Thanks for joining. Thank you all for listening. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please be sure to let us know what you thought of the episode in the review section. We will be back in 2 weeks. Happy National Women's Month. Make sure to respect our women. Hello, all day, every day. Stay blessed, everybody. Bye.